The following presentation is a Barrett Sports Media production. Recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you're the executive producer.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Robinos.
Well, here we are, episode number 2 of season 2 of the Producers Podcast, the 2 squared, if you will. Again, this whole season brought to you by Rider Voiceovers. Rider is an in-demand TV promo voice being used by both NBC and CBS Sports, as well as Fox Sports North, the CW, Tennis Channel Networks. Plus, he voices commercials for the Rangers, the Lightning, that's the Texas Rangers, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and is the national voice of the PBR Tour. For a free custom demo made just for your station, reach out to Rider at his website, ridervo.com. All right, I gotta put this out there. I know I have said this before. Maybe sometimes it is a product of seeing yourself in somebody. But my guest this week is Bo Morgan from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. He produces Dukes and Bell, the station's uber-successful afternoon show. Uber-successful to the point that the show has a beer named after it. This might be one of my favorite people we have ever had on the Producers Podcast. Bo is so insanely impressive. Not only is he the executive producer of Dukes and Bell, he is also the executive producer of the Falcons Radio Network, and you're going to hear in this interview just how seriously he takes those jobs and just how organized he is literally in every moment of his life to make sure he is doing the best work possible for Intercom in Atlanta and also for the Atlanta Falcons. We just had John Goulet, who is Colin Cowherd's producer, on the podcast, and I said on that episode that it's not going to be long before that dude is leading his own product somewhere, whether it's a station, digital network, whatever. The same is absolutely true of Bo Morgan, and I don't know, maybe it is the comfort of having another Southern accent on the other side of that microphone from me, but this was a really great episode to the point that after I got done editing it, I texted Carl Dukes and said, I don't think you realize how lucky you are. So, without further ado, here's my chat with Bo Morgan from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. So, you being a local, I wonder how much or like what percentage of the people you think you guys are talking to every afternoon are you? Have your experience of being here versus Atlanta being this town that people come to work for any number of corporations?
Actually, it's quite a bit. And that's probably one of the coolest things is, so I grew up in the metro area. Mm-hmm. So I was outside of the perimeter.
Yeah, so not so, Atlanta proper, but.
Yeah, I wasn't a ITP growing up. I was inside the perimeter, which is right. 285. And I was OTP. And the best part is I'm right inside, maybe a couple years in the business, I moved inside the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for a smaller signaled station, but it was well known, it had been around. And when I came over to 92.9, where I'm at now, we have a huge signal. We're an FM, that was an AM. And that's when I would go back outside the city and I really would see how many people are me. Are
right.
homegrown, are listening to us who have lived and died with Atlanta sports and not the transplant that this city really gets kind of labeled and kind of a bad rap at times. There's a lot more of me than there are, you know, the outsider guy.
Yeah. So it sounds like then you guys are doing just solely Atlanta and Georgia talk. There's no sort of catering to the transplants at all, really, on the shows.
We'll do national talk. We'll do a college football segment where we're reaching outside. We do an NFL segment, which is really the sole purpose of it is to talk about everything that's outside.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when playoffs come around, especially when it comes to college football and NFL, because obviously football is king in Georgia. I hear a lot of it's a basketball town, and it does good basketball ratings as far as TV, but this is a football town and then baseball. And I think basketball is starting now. Soccer's kind of crept in and did some good stuff. But do we do some? That's what we have segments like our NFL Blitz and we do more on the show I work on now. It's more of a Georgia segment, but as a college football guy, I make sure we always hit around and we'll with other schools, especially during bowl season, college football playoffs. The rankings are when the college football rankings first came out with the playoff.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a Georgia thing, just right. In the recent years where University of Georgia has been in it. So we do a little bit, but we are primarily for Atlanta. Atlanta mm-hmm. is what we talk, and it dominates the airwaves.
So yeah, so that actually leads into something I have often wondered about: Atlanta sports radio, or Atlanta sports culture, I guess, in general, versus Georgia. On a Monday, you guys are probably heavier Falcons versus a station outside of the Atlanta metro would be all in on Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's Falcons. I mean, yeah. It's hardcore Falcons. And in fact, the harder part of for me is finding that balance, because Georgia football is still big here.
Right.
I mean, you get 90,000 plus every time there's a home game in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
That's even for New Mexico State when they yeah. roll in. So it's serious. So yeah, what we do is we know that it's a Falcons Monday, and we're gonna spend most of our time on it, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. But we have our moments where we kind of plug it in, and if you know, I think a lot of sports hosts probably do this, but maybe some don't do it as much. Is you can talk Falcons in a segment and still talk about Georgia or mm-hmm. something else, where you know, maybe you start a segment and then you kind of roll it into where your tease is in the middle of the segment if you get a good segment length, and then yeah. you can kind of close and tease, and then the next segment maybe more is all Falcons or whatever. But I also try to make a Tuesday, I try to concentrate on whatever we missed that was big over the weekend
mm-hmm.
that we just maybe touched on. I don't want to say missed, but just touched on here and there. Now we can give that more time the next day.
Yeah. Would that be, now as we're recording this, it is December 17th. So as you're hearing it, obviously the college football playoffs have already happened. But as we're recording this, we're still waiting for it all to unfold. If Georgia were one of those top four teams, would that be different? Would the balance be a little bit closer to 50-50 at this point?
For a Tuesday?
For any day.
For a Monday? Well, with nothing happening like that, probably not. But now that's where, see, and I'm projecting ahead.
Yeah.
But December 30th is going to be a really tough day to do sports talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to come off the last regular season game for the Falcons. And let's say that Georgia was in the playoff, like your question. Yeah. Now I've got to find balance between a potential coaching change, mm-hmm. possibly. Now, who knows what's going to happen. But let's go ahead and say there would be one. But even if there's not, it's still going to be a huge story with Falcons make a move on Monday or they
right.
don't. And then Georgia just came off a playoff game where they may or may not have beaten an undefeated team that went through the season. So that would definitely be a day where you would have to find that balance.
Yeah.
And that's where it's really tough, because I think being the flagship, the Falcons would take the little bit bigger priority.
Mm-hmm.
But if I would say that I was working at our competitor, who's not the flagship for the Falcons, but they're not the flagship for Georgia, but they are the official talk station of Georgia.
Right.
They would probably take the Georgia angle and have a slightly more of that. I just think that's a tough scenario, but yeah, you would have to find a balance.
Yeah.
If the Braves would have signed Josh Donaldson over the weekend, I would have found myself yesterday finding balance between more balance than I did, but between the Braves and what they just did,
mm-hmm.
and then the Falcons going and having an upset victory on the road.
Yeah. Carl and Mike are legitimately close friends. Does that make show prep or talking out a segment a little bit easier? Can you trust that those guys know where each one wants to go? Or because they're so close and think the way that they have for so long, with each other, do you sometimes have to be a little bit more of a ship's captain on segments and on bit ideas?
Where it helps is, you know, Carl and I do a lot of the planning for the show together. So we'll have a call and such. And Mike has his ideas, you know, comes and he brings them in. But we kind of set the tone for where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so where that helps me is I know that Carl has, as a leader of the show, he's... Me and him are going to take it somewhere, and because that they're friends and they respect each other so much, and there's not a strained relationship,
mm-hmm.
Mike will go there with him, And now Mike's going to have his own opinion because that's one of the things that he does well. He has these big opinions,
right,
whether it comes, you know, and a lot of it is based off of being a fan, mm-hmm, which he is. So that really helps it. Yeah, that makes it a lot easier because there's that respect.
Yeah.
And whether they're really good friends or not, as long as the hosts respect each other, the topics and the topic tree of the way you want to build it, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
When do you start building that topic tree? Like how far out from, what do you guys start at 2 o'clock, right?
2 o'clock.
Yeah. So how far out from 2 o'clock do you start together filling in what the rundown looks like?
Well, so first thing I do in the morning is I wake up and I grab a bottle of water. And I'm not a morning person, so I have my Mio. It's
right,
like flavored, but it's got the energy, like the caffeine in,
yeah,
it. So I get up and I immediately start working on the show.
Mm.
So I'll work for a good hour and start building the show of where I think it needs to go, but also in line with projecting how Carl might want to do it.
Right.
And then me and Carl will, or Carl and I will start touching base, you know, as early as 7:15, just mm-hmm, through text messages.
Right.
And I give him.
And is that a lot of like, did you see X or I heard this piece? Can you grab that?
Yeah. And what do you think about this? And hey, it's just, it really depends on who hits who up first.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I do it a lot more.
Of course.
Carl has his ideas and he knows once we talk, unless it's something that's really, he really feels like, hey, we got to get on top of this, mm-hmm, right now. I'll start with that. And so we'll know where we want to go. It's like this morning, I'll be like, hey, I should have said, you know, I'm thinking about this guest to see where we're going here and how do we want to do this. But when we really get together is anywhere from, we'll do a conference call between him and I, and it starts anywhere. So it just depends on our mornings, but, you know, 9:30, 10, and our set time is always 10:30.
Right.
We have to talk at 10:30 no matter what. But by that time, we've both got everything we want to do. And then when we do have those calls, like, all right, what are you thinking here? This is what I've got. How do you feel about that? And he'll tell me, or he'll say, no, I kind of want to go here. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll move this. And sometimes we'll take stuff that there's every once in a while you have these ideas that are evergreen. You're not just talking about breaking news, especially in the off season. And so, but you know, I really like that. Let's use that tomorrow,
right,
and vice versa.
When you say that 10:30 time, like, you know, you're going to talk at 10:30 in your mind, does that mean the rundown or the topic tree has to look a certain way? It's got to be a certain percentage done by that time. Or at that point, are you just coming with to him knowing I've got to have X number of topics lined up with X number of different branches we can go off on?
Well, my goal when we have that set time, if it's we're just going to use a standard 10:30, is to have everything done.
Okay.
I want the show laid out. That's what I start so early, is I start laying out the show. And then when we go over things, I'm not going to lie. Look, I am very honest about who I am. I can be very self-effacing. There are days where I'm like, look, man, I don't have much. We have a Falcon report. I don't have much. I'm grasping right now. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to do it. But my ultimate goal is to have it completely laid out. I always want the guys to be talking about something that they're passionate about,
yeah,
right? I want him to be on not saying, well, I don't really want to talk about that. I don't really want to do that. So my goal is to have it completely lined out. I want to have it all ready, and then if we change stuff, so be it. And then if anything pops in, we can change if it needs to. You know, there's nothing wrong with the show being organic, but yeah, I like to have it all ready.
Yeah, how comfortable are both you and Carl and Mike with things deviating from what is on? I don't know how you guys do it. Screen, piece of paper.
I really love it when breaking news happens and you got to get somebody on the phone or you got to do that quick research. It's kind of like a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what's fun about doing the games is, you know, you have a plan, but that plan can be deviated at any moment. And a lot of times it is. We know that we have, like every show, sponsors and segments that we have to hit. But yeah, I'm fine with going on the fly as long as it's what we need to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not cool if we need to be talking about this breaking news or this big story that's happened with the Falcons or the Braves or whatever, and we're, you know, talking about something that happened 3 days ago or
right,
something that's just not what our audience needs to hear or wants to hear. So that part, yeah, these guys, we can go on the fly with anything, and that's the fun part.
Mm-hmm. How firm do you find yourself needing to be to move the show along, and how much of a natural compass do Carl and Mike have about, I think we've played this topic out, time to move on.
I have no issue being firm.
Yeah.
And there are times where I have to be very firm, and other times they get it. And probably the biggest thing you have to do with hosts is in the middle of a segment, reminding them that, hey, there's that tease, because
right.
all shows get distracted, all hosts get distracted with it, whether it's your text line or your Twitter feed, something they saw on the TV, or a conversation that happened in the we call it our bullpen.
Yeah.
So they'll come in and they'll start talking, and as you know, our segments will come back from the top of the hour, it'll be like 57, 58 if you're on time, and you'll get out about 12 or 13 depending on the spot load. We get about 04, and we haven't hit our tees. Hey, don't forget your tees. Right in Carl's air.
Right.
You'll have that eye-to-eye contact. Your hand will come up, you know, to raise a hand. Like, gotcha. And then you do the quick reset, and then you roll into your tee. So it's a good feeling of knowing when something is played out. And if, as a producer, the one thing that I've gotten better at is understanding and being like, look, dude, we can't talk about this. We've got to find a way to reinvent this or move on, because it's kind of getting stale.
Yeah. Interesting. So when it comes to the station itself, how long have you been with the game at this point?
5 years.
5 years. So even in 5 years, you've seen a decent amount of turnover in the on-air staff here.
Yeah.
How much have you been? You haven't been with Carl and Mike that whole time, have you?
No. So I came over when I was unemployed for right at a month, as far as not being full-time to part-time.
Yeah.
I came to this station part-time. Mike wasn't even here yet.
Right. Okay. I was trying to do the math on that in my head when he came over, exactly.
Because Mike and I had worked together on the same show at 790.
Right. So whether it is the talent you worked with at 790 or seeing the turnover here, have you sort of gotten a good gauge, whether it is, you know, if your future includes programming, or even if it is just your job right now in terms of personality management, have you gotten a good gauge on the kind of mix that a show needs in order to be successful?
Yes and no. The mix, you really need two guys who, to me, a good mix is guys that are comfortable in who they are and have strong feelings, strong takes, are guys that are really, you know, you can have two guys that study, but they also got to have a mix of personality.
Right.
A mix of just that's, I don't want to say self-esteem is kind of the right word, but where they're comfortable enough in their own skin, where they know, because, you know, in this business, we take a lot. It's thin skin. People don't last in this business.
Yeah.
You got to be thick skin. It's easy to say. I mean, the show I'm on now, we do great.
Yeah.
We have great ratings. You just got to have guys that aren't afraid to work. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing to me. Don't be afraid to work.
Yeah. If you are not afraid to work, if you have two hosts that are willing to put in the time to improve, does it necessarily matter that you have two guys? Like you mentioned, Carl and Mike are, you know, they respect each other, but they're very different. Does it matter that you have that sort of natural conflict? Or if you have two guys that are willing to do the work, do you think that anybody can put on a successful show together?
No, I don't think you need that natural debate, because I think sometimes that comes off to some of the audience, to some viewers, to some listeners, is almost, you know, just contrived. I mean, people kind of say, oh, well, that's not real. They can't disagree on everything, which isn't true.
Right.
Right? There's something fun about listening to a show where it sounds like two guys are sitting together drinking a beer at the bar, and they're just going back and forth.
Analogy for your show, by the way.
Oh,
a show
it's
with its own beer.
It's absolutely appropriate. And that's kind of one of our I don't want to say slogans, reminds me, you know, we're guys you want to have a beer with.
Right.
You know, we do shows out at places like Twin Peaks and stuff, and guys want to come up and hang around after the show, we'll have a beer. Like that's fun. It's fun. That's the fun part about it. If you're two guys, two friends sitting in a bar having a beer, or sitting in their, you know, their basement in their man cave or whatever, we're not going to disagree about every little thing. There's a lot of things we'll probably half time we'll say, yeah, we might come with different takes, but at the end of the day, we might ultimately, well, I agree, this guy's got to go, or this guy's got to get better. But it doesn't always have to be a debate where mm-hmm. I'm on one side and you're on the other. I think the best part about a show like ours is when we do get there, when we have those takes,
mm-hmm.
they sound organic because they are organic.
Yeah. You're also the executive producer of the Falcons radio network, right?
Yes, sir.
So tell me about that sort of balance between the two. Do you sort of feel like 24/7 you're Dukes and Bells producer, and then on Sundays you do this Falcons thing as well? Is it vice versa? Is there a balance at all, or is it just all producing to you?
It's yes and no to everything.
Okay.
All right.
Because they are they're two very different styles of producing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're you know, it's so different, right? I'm always trying to keep the relationship between the team,
mm-hmm.
which I'm a outside part of. The radio network is obviously inside here, inside 92.9. It comes from 92.9. But then I go out, when I leave on a plane with the Falcons, I have to act like a member of the Falcons, right?
Right.
So I always want to keep the brands on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm always Dukes and Bells producer. I'm never getting away from that. I'm on the road with guys who work for the team, and they know what I do, and they know, they listen.
Right.
Hey, man, you can't let those guys talk about that. Mm. Or this, or hey, that was funny when you guys were talking about this.
Right.
So when I come in here, these guys look at me and they know that I'm the Falcons radio producer, the executive producer of the network. So I'm always both. It's 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm at a party or something, or an outing with my neighbors, and they recognize my voice, or they dreaded, so what do you do for work?
Right.
I've got to hear about it. And I know good and well that if I say something that could be taken one way, if it's against the team, oh man, a Falcons radio producer said that.
Yeah.
You know, right? And if it's something, you know, goofy from my ass, it's because you work with Dukes and Bell, you
right.
know? But yeah, and I protect both.
Yeah.
All right? They're both my babies. I protect both. I defend both. I go to bat for both.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is always, people say, well, you it's probably easy for you. You have a relationship with the Falcons, so they give you whatever you want. No. It's not so easy, man. When I deal with the PR guys and stuff who are great, but they're not going to give me whatever. It's not like I'm the guy hosting the show.
Right.
You know, and they listen and they know what my guys were saying and what all that kind of stuff. So I try to get everyone to understand that I'm fighting for us all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always doing both. Like, it's 24/7. Both.
Yeah.
And that's hard sometimes.
Do you ever find yourself in a situation where someone on the team is coming to you for an answer about something Dukes and Bell said about them or the team?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. More than you know.
Yeah.
And that's where...
And I would imagine, like, if it were me in that situation, I would imagine my reaction would be, hang on, let me get Carl on the phone to answer all these questions for you.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
No, I try to... Like, when, you know, why did Dukes and Bell say this?
Yeah.
So when someone comes to me with that, I'm immediately in Dukes and Bell producer.
Right.
And so I'm protecting my guys.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, because, like I said, it's 24/7 both. And a lot of times people hear protecting as, oh, so you just cover up for them.
Yeah.
No. I tell them what we're thinking, why we did what we did,
mm-hmm.
because you know this from being in the business. When they come to me, it's not really, why did Mike Bell say this? Why did Carl Duke say that? Why did you guys do this?
Yeah.
It's just as much on me,
right?
What they say through this microphone.
Right. And sometimes it's, why do you guys have a problem with me?
Yes.
Why do you guys have a problem with whatever?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, and... Because you think when my boss calls me, it's the dreaded, why did we do this? Why did we not dump that?
Right.
I'm like, dude, I can only do so much.
Yeah. So I end every interview with the same two questions. The first one, what do you want to do next?
That's a good question, because my wife asked me that all the time.
Really?
What are you going to be producing the rest of your life? I want to look. I want to be in this business, and it's not just radio. It's not just TV or whatever. I mean, it's. I want to be in the sports business, right? And I just want to grow, and I want to be in a job where I'm making a difference in people's lives. I know that I'm making a difference, however small it is, in people's lives by the way people interact with me on Twitter, the way people that, you know, like I said, I recently moved out of the city and back out of the city into a big neighborhood.
Yeah.
I say big, just a lot of people live there.
Right.
I can't tell how many times, oh, I recognize your voice. Or, oh, wait, would you say your name was? I want to move up in this business. And I think this business is everything, where it's sports PR, sports media, like on the side that you're doing, where I'm doing, you know, producing a show or a program director. I love this field. This is, you know, some people say they're meant to do things. I don't 100% agree that everybody was meant to do this one thing or another. But if I was ever meant to do something, it was being in the sports media world,
right?
Because I can't play sports at a high level, but I can sure talk about them at a high level.
Yeah.
And I enjoy doing it, and I love being around it.
Yeah. And then what is it about your job that you wish your program director and your hosts understood a little bit better?
That I'm the lowest paid guy on the totem pole, and so not all the responsibility should be on me.
That might be the truest and most honest answer anyone has given to that question, because I know you're going to give me something a little bit more towing the company line as a follow-up here, but that is something I wish every host and PD understood a little bit better about the producer's role.
you know what? I'll steal this from Mike. I'm not going to steal much from Mike, but I'll steal this from him. He said it's a thankless job.
Yeah.
Right? When you're out doing a remote, most of the time, and I've got a lot of great people that have listened and come to me and know who I am and tell me how great of a job I do or whatever. But the guys get all the recognition, right? Their paychecks are no doubt bigger than yours. That's a big part of what everybody has to go to work. But the hardest working people are the guys behind the mics.
Yep.
And I mean on the other side of that glass. You know, we are the guys, we're the people behind the people behind the mics. And, you know, just understand that we take everything to heart. I know I do personally. Everything that happens on my show, I take to heart.
Yeah.
If I don't think we had a great segment, who's that on? What could I have done better?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have a great show, if we don't have a great book, what did I do differently?
Mm-hmm.
What was I doing? Just know that, dude, we are here working as hard as anybody.
Right.
And we care as much as anyone behind the mic. Because you know what? There are times when I've worked with guys that only cared about the ratings when they saw the book come out.
Yeah.
Or when they saw the bonus not show up. Whatever. I care every day. Every show, every hour, every segment, what could we have done better? Because the perfect show, I think, is out there, but I'm still searching for it. I think most people are.
All right, so today's lesson is going to be about conflict resolution. You might remember I can't remember which number episode it was, but in the first season, we had Jessamyn McIntyre from 710 ESPN in Seattle on the podcast, and she talked about the sort of therapist role that every producer has to play to get his or her host on track, whether it is they are having a bad day, whether it is you just need to pump them up a little bit, whether it is working through whatever sort of problem they are having within themselves to get the most out of them on air. Well, what happens, where do you transform from therapist to conflict mediator when you're dealing with two hosts that just don't get along? I mean, you just heard this whole episode of Bo Morgan talking about Carl Dukes and Mike Bell, two guys that are genuinely close, are very different, but get along famously. That's not the story with every successful duo, right? Like, think about the most popular local radio duo ever, Mike and the Mad Dog, really didn't like each other very much at times. Certainly, we can all, off the top of our head, name shows where the two hosts either don't like each other or, at best, just don't talk when the show is not in prep or on-air mode. There is a big part of that falls on the program director. But as the producer, you're the one who is in the studio with them from day to day. And that is why I think we're going to use Jessamine's term here, put on that therapist hat. Part of your job, in addition to show prep, in addition to shaping topics and guiding conversations, part of your job is making sure all of the conflict is out there in the open so that it can be dealt with, right? Maybe not in the macro. Maybe you're not going to get these two people to like each other, but at the very least, you got to get them to clear the air to be able to do a good show from day to day, right? It is, I'm going to use Bo's term here, it really is a thankless job in that regard. So much responsibility falls on the producer when it comes to the show. And it is not just about the way the show sounds. It is also about the way the show does business. And sometimes, unfortunately, that does mean that there is some personality management that becomes part of your job. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, it's an important part of your job. So you need to learn to read people and need to learn to understand when there is a problem that nobody wants to acknowledge out loud so that you can get it on the table. All right, so we will be back next week with another episode of the Barrett Sports Media Producers Podcast. In the meantime, check out RyderVO.com. He is the guy that makes this show possible. And if you are looking to image your station, or maybe you're looking to image your demo, I don't know, RyderVO.com. He will put together that free custom demo made just for you. All you have to do is ask for it. RyderVO.com. I'm Demetri Ravanis. We will talk to you next time on another edition of the BSM Producers Podcast.
Unbelievable. Maybe the show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Demetri, follow him on Twitter at Demetri Ravanos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com.